Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for coming. You're listening to Calling Judas. This is Advice and Interviews. I am your host. My name's Melissa. You can call me Judas. You can call me whatever. So we're going to go ahead today and talk about what I do for my real job, for an actual living, which is a crime scene technician. I'll go ahead and get my notes together and play you a song. I'll get back to you in just a moment with all the gory details.
Oh, I really wanted that thing. I just want to sing. I love you, baby. Won't you bring all the flowers you find out in the garden? Don't tell me the truth that your heart has hardened. But you don't want me anymore. How can it be? Look what you've done to me. Oh,
everybody, welcome back. Time to get started getting into the gory details of what I do, a crime scene cleaning technician. So some of you might wonder, what exactly is a crime scene cleaning technician? Well, I'll tell you. So I'm sure you're familiar with tons of horror movies, crime documentaries, all that good stuff. And they post pictures and videos of the crime scene. There's blood everywhere, blood on the walls. Well, they never show what happens after you die, after the police have come, done their investigation, all that wonderful, wonderful stuff, what happens to the blood and the guts and the brain pieces and skull fragments? Well, somebody's got to clean it. Also, what happens when police are searching for more evidence, more bullets, more information on what had happened? Well, we get sent to look for that. So you might be wondering, how did I get into this? Well, I got into it by complete accident. I happened to know somebody who was working the job, and I saw her work shirt one day, and I questioned her about it. And, you know, a couple months later, I'm being interviewed, and here I am 2 years later now. So you might be wondering, what does a dead body or death smell like? I'm pretty sure you've had rotten meat or, you know, some trash cans smelling pretty foul in the summertime. But it's a million times worse than that. It permeates your skin and your hair and your clothing. Like, if you step into your car after being in a crime scene where somebody's decomposed, I guarantee you, you're going to be smelling it for a while. It's kind of different per person. I've noticed that people with diabetes or cancer or alcoholics, they tend to smell the worst, the absolute worst. I don't know, I'm trying to think of the first time I ever saw the blood and gore was when I was training, and I was so nervous because I had both of the owners of the company there training a bunch of, you know, a handful of us that had been interviewed. and gone through our setup training and preliminary stuff. And I remember going in, and I think it was a suicide, and the blood had sat for a while, so it kind of flaked away. And I remember just trying to do as amazing a job as possible and getting into every detail, because I don't know, I enjoy helping people, and I feel like this kind of job is something you can do to alleviate a lot of stresses put on families that are going through some tragic situations. A lot of people ask me if we see ghosts on the job. I'm not going to say yes. I've never actually physically seen anything, but we've had some really strange instances, one of which was a period of time where the wind wasn't blowing, nothing was happening, but all the doors in the house would slam shut periodically, just out of nowhere. We've also had another lady. She was pretty much a trickster. She was pretty great. She would mess with one of my coworkers named Rochelle. And a lot of people do also ask, like, what's it like going into somebody else's house, like a dead person's house? You're seeing all their weird stuff, their private stuff, their most personal things. And that is so true. I actually find that incredibly fascinating. I would say my favorite type of home of a crime scene to do is elderly people. Not so much so because they usually are hoarders, and it's a sad situation because they're left alone, and, you know, they kind of live in squalor and they have no family coming to take care of them, which really, really bothers me. But the old people's houses, they have a lot of history. It's like walking into a time capsule. I've seen photos from the 1700s. We did a guy's house where he was a roadie for all kinds of cool bands back in the 80s and 90s. And he had, I can't even count how many guitars that were autographed, and pictures and memorabilia. Really, really awesome. Surprisingly, a lot of grandparents, like grandpas, the men, after their wives died, we'd find, like, their closets are just filled with women's clothes. They were, I guess, cross-dressing. See a lot of interesting old kitchen gadgets and antique things that people don't like getting rid of. Military stuff, tons and tons of old books and board games. It's really just like walking back into a time capsule. I don't even know how to explain it. Young people, though, their houses are a little less interesting. They're sadly, you know, typically people who die from overdoses, and, you know, it obviously they don't really have a lot of stuff on them because they have a drug problem. And yeah, we usually just find a lot of paraphernalia and trash. I do enjoy doing hoarder houses, just because some of the most random strange things you come across in their house when you're emptying it out. And we do both, let me interject and say that we do both living and deceased hoarder houses. So a lot of times we're working with living people and trying to mediate and comfort them and counsel them along the way and get them to actually get the motivation to throw the trash and stuff away. But yeah, some people, they will hoard animals. That's one of the big ones. This stuff they buy, they could have like 14 of the same exact thing, and it's never enough for them. Some people actually save their poop. Some people collect cats, like with animals. I was saying before, like, wow, we had this one house where, you know how scary movies, like, out of nowhere, just someone opens the closet door and you hear, rawr! And out jumps the cat. Well, that was happening to us for a period of 3 days. I think there was 20-something cats. We did capture a few and bring them into LSU Vet Clinic and surrendered them so they can go out for adoption. That was pretty awesome. But we find porn. We find really strange sexual devices. A ridiculous amount of National Geographics. Pills, maxi pads, chicken carcasses, paintings, records. For some reason, people save every piece of mail they've ever gotten. They save their beer cans. You'd be shocked. One of the biggest important things I wanted to say here is why, and the reason you shouldn't always have a professional, this kind of thing happens to you, you should always have a professional come in. Why are the body fluids and blood just basically anything that comes out of a human being so hazardous? Well, obviously, you know, blood can contain viruses like HIV, AIDS, hepatitis B or C, whatever, or any type of bloodborne pathogens. Obviously, common sense tells you, you know, that's not good. But there's also bacteria like E. coli and C. diff, stuff like that. Those are things you don't want to mess with. Not to mention the disposal of materials. It has to be OSHA certified or OSHA standard. Everything has to be federally and state legal. And it's not only blood that's on the floor of the bed after you die. Like, you're not just wiping up blood. Think about it. There you are. You die. You pass that on your floor, you die. There's your carcass. You're just a delicious meat sack now. And, you know, the moment you die, your body becomes acidic, and the acidity is what makes you start decaying. Your body starts eating itself. And while that's happening, all the blood sinks down to the lowest point in the body, starts to harden, but also starts to leak and seep out of your skin. Your skin breaks down. Gases build up, and all that's from the decay. It's basically like sulfur is the gas that builds up in you. You become a human-sized fart bomb just waiting to pop, which that's going to be really, really messy. All the while, all that blood leaking and surrounding your body as you decompose on the floor, it's not really that much blood at all. It's actually a concoction of your liquefied skin, your fat, your organs, muscles, your poop, and basically all of your thoughts. Not a safe situation you want to be in, especially if you're emotionally traumatized by a family member recently passing. Not to mention, though, if you were the lucky winner to die on the floor and to decompose for almost a week, then you hit the bonus round. That means you win. Ding, ding, ding. Flies. Thousands upon thousands of flies are going to be feasting on your body. And you know what flies do? Whatever they eat, they regurgitate and poop. All over the walls, all over the floor, all over your windows, all over everything that exists in the room and areas in which you had passed away. That's transference. That's not a good thing. I definitely don't recommend you or your Uncle Fred going to clean up your neighbor who passed away or anything like that. You definitely want to call in a professional. I've seen so many times where people have tried to just mop up the floor and end up calling me or calling us or whatever, and we have to go in and end up pulling the floor up because there are giant pools of blood and biohazardous liquids that have accumulated underneath because you can't see where the liquid goes. Liquid's always going to flow down to the bottom. So we end up going in there and having to do extensive, I would say, not demolition, but we do have to remove anything that is contaminated and can't be treated. With that being said, I'll leave you guys on that note. I cut this show kind of short today, down to 15 minutes, because honestly, I didn't think I could describe my job very long, but I just realized I can go on about it for hours. So what I'm going to do is dive with a song on the way out this last minute or so. I've got a really great show coming up for everybody next week. Tomorrow, haven't decided yet. I'm going to go see if there's somebody I want to interview or if it's going to be a music session. I do appreciate you listeners coming in. I am new at this. I'm trying to build a following and a fan base or whatever. More than willing to advertise for local companies too and small businesses. If you or somebody you know has a really interesting job or just a way of life or theory, give me a call. Let's get them on the show. You can talk. I like opening people's minds and broadening horizons.